to Just a Minute. The rules of this game are ridiculously simple. Until you try and play the game, and then you find they are simply ridiculous. But today we have four bright sparks who are going to show how they can play this game with spark and fun. And first of all, on my right, we have two comedy writers and performers, Maria McCurlane, and beside her, Steve Punt. And on my left, two evergreen actresses and comedy players, Wendy Richard, and beside her, Linda Smith. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I'm going to give them a subject and ask them to speak on it, and they will try and do that without hesitation or repetition or deviating from the subject. Today we begin the show with Maria McCurlane, and the subject is virtual reality. Oh, it's a toughie, but go if you can for 60 seconds, Maria, starting now.
Virtual reality must surely be far and away the best way to live your life. Real reality being far too harsh a concept for me, certainly, to take on board. Also, you don't have to speak to anyone. Just pop on the headphones, switch on the computer, take the right medication, and lo and behold, you can be happy for hours on end.
Linda challenge.
Just a touch of hesitation.
There was a touch, because you were to say hours and hours, and that's is the difficulty in Just a Minute. So Linda has a correct challenge. She gets a point for that. She takes over the subject, and there are 42 seconds available, Linda. Virtual reality starting now.
I'm not really sure what virtual reality is. Is it a bit like déjà vu, where you think something's happened, but it hasn't really, and you just spend the whole day thinking, did I? Was it? Am I? What's going on? What's happening? What on earth is...
What we interpret that as hesitation. So, Wendy, you have a correct challenge, you have a point, you have the subject, then the 28 seconds available, virtual reality, starting now.
I haven't the faintest idea what virtual reality is, unless, of course, it's sitting next to Nicholas Parsons. But my boyfriend likes playing this game, Tomb Raider, on the PlayStation, and apparently that is virtual reality. I think you're supposed to guide the person round, and the scenery about it all alters to suit this little figure that's running through the most appalling things you've ever seen. As far as I understand it, that is virtual reality. Sometimes I wonder if my whole life...
So Wendy kept going for 28 seconds and was speaking as a whistle went, and she gains an extra point for doing that. And at the end of the round, she's taken the lead. And from Maria, we move to Steve Punt. Steve, the subject here is courage. It takes courage to come on the show, but you talk on that subject if you can, Steve, starting now.
Courage. Nicholas is the better-behaved twin brother of fear. Where there is that negative, there should also be that positive. Let us say, for example, that you are frightened of flying. The prospect of being ejected off the ground, sitting in a metal cylinder, and propelled 30,000 feet into the air, held aloft merely by two columns of exploding gases, fills you with trepidation.
Yes, Linda.
Trepidation.
Trepidation, yes. And you started with an but they let it go, Steve.
What is trepidation?
You said trepidation. Is hesitation in Just a Minute.
Ah.
Ah. No, so
that'll teach me to go for comedy effect.
Damn, I know. That's one of the problems and challenges of Just a Minute. So, Linda, a great challenge to you. Another point, of course. And courage is with you. 39 seconds starting now.
Courage is a brewery like so many other breweries, like Truman's or...
You said brewery twice, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Wendy spotted it first.
Almost, like, I almost said brewery, didn't I? I almost did
that. Actually,
so
said brewery and then breweries.
No, she said brewery twice,
like
I think
so. Many other breweries.
I think she said brewery twice.
Oh, no, actually.
No, she didn't, because that's why I suddenly got upset when I buzzed her, because I was wrong. I do apologise.
Thank you, Wendy.
Please accept my sincere apology.
So you can repeat the words on the card, but if you put it in the plural, you haven't repeated it. So, Linda, you have a point for an incorrect challenge, and you keep the courage of subject. No, that's wrong way around. And nobody laughed. I won't do anything like that again.
Because they're not listening to you, Nicholas. I never listen to you.
Courage is the subject. 35 seconds, Linda, starting now.
The point I was making was that the slope...
Steve, yes?
Deviation.
Why?
I just want to say deviation on daytime television. Sorry, I must apologise for Linda. She was fine. It's just a...
Well, all right, I tell you what I'll do, Steve.
Fantasy that I have.
I'll give you a bonus point because the audience laughed. They enjoyed your interruption. But also, Linda gets a point because she was interrupted. You keep the subject, Linda. Courage. 33 seconds starting now.
They do say that it takes a coward to be truly courageous. And I don't know if that's really true, but that is the popular wisdom. The lion in The Wizard of Oz was very, very cowardly. And
Wendy caught that one.
Very, very.
Oh.
Very, very, yes.
Seems so easy when you're watching.
So, Wendy, very, very, repetition, 20 seconds available. Courage with you.
It takes a lot of courage to come on this programme. Nicholas is quite right.
Why do you say that?
Well, that's repetition, because you've already done that joke.
But it wasn't exactly a joke, was it? Didn't get a laugh when I said it, didn't get a laugh when Wendy said it.
Does it count if someone else has said it?
Yes, you can take over other people's material if you want to, but you can take over mine. But I said it before, so Wendy didn't repeat herself.
Ah, fine.
That's all right. No. Nice to hear from you, Steve.
I withdraw.
No. See, Steve, if you think about it, if you couldn't use any words that had been used previously, you'd be left with a choice of about three words by round two, wouldn't you?
That's true.
Linda, your profound observations have set that audience absolutely agog. They were throbbing when we started, and their throb has disappeared.
I've set them aglaze.
Aglaze, right. It was a correct challenge with Wendy, and there are 17 seconds on Courage starting now.
I've completely lost the plot now about courage, so I shall go off on a different tack. People have varying degrees of courage, and it is not till you are pushed till the extreme...
Maria McElhane.
I think there was a bit of hesitation.
A bit of hesitation. Maria, you got in with 6 seconds to go on the subject of courage, starting now.
Mother Courage is truly a marvellous play written by Bertolt Brecht, I believe, who was...
Curran was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so. Wendy Richard and Linda Smith are equal in the lead, just ahead of the other two. And Wendy, your turn to begin. The subject, my hairdresser. Will you tell us, not my, well, you can take it any way you like, of course. Anyway, talk about mine if you want to, or yours, it doesn't matter. Start now.
My hairdresser, who's an extremely good cutter, and he also cuts the hair of some of the heads of the government, this present lot that we've got in. But when you see him, the hairdresser, is the untidiest person. You wouldn't believe that he can turn out such smashing coiffures for such important personages as those that are residing in number 10 Downing Street. Myself, he does me a very good cut for my hair.
Linda, I couldn't resist
her pleading eyes.
I know. She came in to her rescue. 33 seconds are still available for you. You have another point. You have my hairdresser starting now.
My hairdresser sports a rather fetching purple Mohican hairstyle, which may put some people off, but it doesn't put me off because I like a hairdresser.
Yes, Maria.
Putting off.
Put me off, yes. Repeated that. So, Maria, 24 seconds. You tell us something about this subject of my hairdresser, starting now.
Why do hairdressers always tut horribly and then say, who cut your hair last? And you always have to reply, it was you.
And...
No. Yes. She read Linda Lee Potter's column this morning as well, because it was in there, so it's not a genuine comment.
It's a genuine comment, because we just said a little while ago, Wendy, you can use other people's material, other people's thoughts and ideas, providing you do not repeat them.
Yes, but I think Linda Lee Potter ought to get the credit for
saying
it.
Wendy, it was me that wrote to Linda Lee Potter with that
was
peculiar
it? Oh,
thing.
Yes,
that's
sorry.
Right, yes. Exactly. And she's got the letter to prove it. Right, incorrect challenge, so a point to you, Maria, and you have 15 seconds on my hairdresser starting now.
The other thing they constantly crave is, have you been on holiday this year? Why don't they just leave you alone? Sit there, have your hair cut, go home, the end pay through the nose, and...
Hesitation.
Hesitation, Wendy. You got in with 3 seconds to go. Yes, on my hairdresser starting now.
My dog's hairdresser is a very nice man called...
Someone challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Because it's not my hairdresser, it's my dog's hairdresser.
Yes, but he's still a hairdresser.
And you have half a second to go on my hairdresser, starting now.
Bye.
Wendy Richard, who tried to speak as a whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and has increased her lead at the end of the round. Linda Smith, your turn. The subject... Ooh. Peeping Toms. Can you tell us something about those in this game? Starting now.
Peeping Toms are dirty, sleazy, filthy people who spy on others while they are getting undressed. And I really am trying to stop doing it, my lord. But it's very difficult when I'm surrounded with so much temptation on my own doorstep. Please take mercy on a poor Peeping Tom.
Why have you challenged Steve?
Well, because this is plainly deviation.
Why?
Well, that's what she's talking about.
It is a deviation from behaviour that we normally accept. But so all I can do is say...
It is, however, a pun. Do I get a point for a pun?
No, I'll give you a point for the, because we enjoyed the comment, if even it wasn't a correct challenge when the rules are just a minute. But as Linda's interrupted, she gets a point for interruption. She keeps the subject. There are 45 seconds. Peeping Tom's with you, Linda, starting now.
A Peeping Tom was a marvellous film by Powell and Pressburger, quite spooky and strange and very disturbing and quite controversial in its time.
Yes.
Quite.
Yes. Quite. It was quite. Two quites, yes. Well, listen, Maria, 36 seconds for you on Peeping Toms, starting now.
Not many people know this, but Nicholas Parsons, in his previous career, was indeed a Peeping Tom. And came to my hotel room when we were staying in a place called Norfolk. Norwich, I would say.
Might you well have dried up after that insidious remark. Who challenged? It was you, wasn't it?
Yes.
You got in first. And there are 21 seconds on Peeping Toms with
you. Was there that long? I wouldn't have busted it.
Well, I'm glad you stopped Maria going on the way she was going there with that absolutely slanderous remarks of hers. Right, 21 seconds. Peeping Toms with you, Wendy, starting now.
As far as I understand, the origin of Peeping Toms comes from when Lady Godiva decided to ride through the streets of Coventry bareback, literally, i.e. no clothes on. All the folk decided that they would turn away and not...
Yes, Maria.
Repetition of decided.
You decided too much. She decided, and all the folk decided. And really, you got back in. There are 5 seconds on Peeping Tom starting now.
Came to my hotel room dressed only...
She said hotel room before. Yes, she
did. 4 seconds for you, Wendy, on Peeping Tom starting now.
But Peeping Tom was the only one who actually turned to watch the...
Wendy Mitchell was again speaking as the whistle went and has again increased her lead at the end of that round. She's followed in equal second place with Maria McCurlin and Linda Smith. But Maria, would you like to take the next round? Dolphins is the subject, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Dolphins must surely be some of the most beautiful creatures ever known to man and womankind. I have had the lucky misfortune... Oh, no, how would that be lucky misfortune?
It's a lovely thought, isn't it? But who challenged first? Wendy. What was your challenge?
I think she was just starting to wander off into twaddle,
did, yes,
actually.
But she suddenly realised it was a sort of misconception. I think it's called tautology, you know, a lucky misfortune. Anyway, it was also hesitation, so there are 53 seconds available on Dolphins with you, Wendy, starting now.
Last year, I was fortunate enough to go on a cruise on the QE2, and at certain parts of this cruise, the ship...
Yes.
Two cruises.
She was on the same cruise, but she can't repeat the word. 47 seconds, Maria. Dolphins are starting now.
Managed to swim with beautiful dolphins in the Red Sea. In fact, not many people know this, but after a horrid boating accident, I was brought up by dolphins and am able to speak dolphin language.
Repetition.
That's the challenge of just a minute. You go for a laugh and make the just a laugh, and then of course it's repetition.
If so you really spoke dolphin, you'd know that they were all very slightly different, those things.
I know, but we don't have many dolphin speakers in the audience. And, I don't know, that lady up there stood up and... oh, she's a dolphin, I'm so sorry. There are 33 seconds, Wendy. Dolphins, starting now.
Following this craft as it sped through the Mediterranean, and to see these beautiful creatures leaping side... and then over there, through the surf, was really a terrific view for all on board.
Steve, your challenge.
There was a bit of a hesitation there.
There was
a bit of hesitation there as well.
Steve, yes, I agree with your hesitation. 18 seconds, tell us something about dolphins, starting now.
I have never understood how they train dolphins to balance those balls on the end of their beaky little noses. Did they?
Yes, why, Ruchan?
Hesitation.
You hesitated. You waited for your laugh and it didn't come. But Linda, correct challenge. So you have 11 seconds on dolphins, starting now.
Dolphins are meant to be really clever, but how bright are they? I think probably they're not as intelligent as Carol Vorderman, but not as thick as Richard Whiteley. That's probably about the level.
Oh, Maria, yes.
Two probablys.
Two probablys. You got your gag out and then you lost the track. And Maria, you got in with 1 second to go on dolphins, and you begin now.
Dolphins!
Though the players can't see the clock and don't know, they can often gauge it, and if they cleverly get in just before the whistle, they get that extra point. It was Maria McCurley, and she's moved forward into second place behind Wendy Richard and Steve Punt. Your turn to begin. Tongue in cheek, and don't pause, because otherwise they may get you. And you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Tongue in cheek is a phrase employed when one wants to imply that you do not...
Linda, it's
sad. I'm sorry, it does feel a bit like drowning kittens, but...
Oh, I don't think it looks a bit like...
What was wrong? I can't... Come on, I challenge you. I challenge you. What was wrong with that?
I challenge you to a game of just a minute.
Right. You did hesitate, I'm afraid.
Do you know, I think I rather did.
Yes. And so Linda's got a correct challenge. Tongue-in-cheek, and there are 55 seconds, Linda, starting now.
Tongue-in-cheek these days is quite often a rather lewd reference to Monica Lewinsky. And I think the audience interrupted me there with her
booze. Yes.
I think she waited too long on the...
I think she played up to them, yes. You were riding the audience reaction, but you have to keep going, don't you? But Maria, you've got in, yes, 44 seconds on tongue-in-cheek starting now.
Tongue-in-cheek must surely be the best place to keep it. Anywhere else, frankly, would be quite ridiculous, as you wouldn't be able to speak or chew or look at Nicholas and go like this.
Wendy.
Repetition of error.
Wendy, you had a correct challenge of repetition. 32 seconds available on tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I don't want it. Let me give it to Steve, because I can't think of a word to say about tongue-in-cheek, but
aren't
let him
they
have it.
Generous today?
I'm
Steve. And she'd like to hear what you've got to say on tongue-in-cheek starting now.
I don't need your pity. Thank you.
Hesitation.
Where are we? Tongue-in-cheek. I haven't right. started yet. Tongue-in-cheek.
Right. Keep
is
going.
Is when...
Yes.
Tongue-in-cheek is when you pretend that you don't know that what you're saying is funny, which is what I'm signally failing to do here. Examples of this would... No, I've completely lost myself.
Yes, Linda.
I think what's the matter, Steve, is you've got Harold Pinter to write this for you, haven't you? All of these...
My secret's out.
...pauses.
Yes. Yes, I think he did hesitate.
Actually, no, seriously, Steve, carry on, because...
I think for some rather masochistic reason, Steve, they'd like you all to carry on with tongue-in-cheek. You've got 11 more seconds. See what you can do, starting now.
Well, tongue-in-cheek, I've never understood the derivation of this phrase, tongue-in-cheek, which I understand I'm allowed to repeat, because it seems to me that your cheek is an extremely difficult place to get your tongue if you move it there.
So, with the help of the other players, Steve Punn kept going to the whistle and gained that extra point for doing so. He has leapt forward. But he's still in fourth place. But, no, don't laugh, because the others are only just ahead of him. Linda Smith and then Maria McCurlane, but out in the lead still, Wendy Richard. And Wendy, your turn to begin. Etiquette. Tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now.
It's amazing the number of people today that have no sense of etiquette whatsoever, when really etiquette should be born into people as just being good manners. I should like to believe that I was brought up knowing etiquette. I think that there are books on etiquette. And
Linda, I wish you'd stop looking at me.
I think it was a plea for help, actually.
Well,
there was a bit of repetition. But
like
also
a fool, hesitant. I came to her aid.
Right, well, etiquette, don't you want it? You've got 40 seconds to try and go on that subject.
Oh, give it a go.
Starting now.
Etiquette is the politeness of kings, or is that punctuality? It may well be, I don't know. It's all generally good breeding.
Right, yes, what's your chance,
Wendy? I think we were starting to hesitate a bit.
Just a bit,
well,
yes.
Well, I thought you didn't want it. Why are you buzzing? You're a fool to yourself, Wendy.
Well, oh, how long is there left?
Carry
there
on.
There is 29 seconds available.
Oh, God, you finish it off then.
You can't pick and choose.
Would you like to give it to Steve Punt again?
Sorry, Wendy, let Steve do it.
Go on. Most generous show I've ever had. Steve, you actually challenged, but your light didn't come on.
That's true.
Because it was deviation.
Yeah.
She misquoted that. It is punctuality is the etiquette of kings.
Right.
And so, well done, well listened. I thought you were in like a question. So you have the subject, 29 seconds on etiquette, starting now.
Etiquette does derive from the British class structure, and a lot of it is to do with royalty. One prime piece of etiquette, for example, is that one should never turn one's back on the Queen. And I said one's, not one.
Yeah, right. Three ones.
Three ones and three ones. One, they might let go. Two, but not three.
One or two?
Two, yes. Two would be repetition.
Three
would be over-repetition.
Three is just hopeless repetition. Yes, yes. Right.
We could do a double act on this, couldn't we? We wouldn't get many laughs on it, but we could try. Wendy, etiquette. 18 seconds still. Etiquette with you starting now.
In all forms of show business, each one has its own etiquette. There is a different one for films, television, radio. And it's essential that one observes this etiquette.
Maria.
Repetition of one.
Yes, you repeated
it's
one.
It's a then. Disease.
We've got one.
What's happening? It's spread.
Yeah. I know. You see what he started, Steve?
Oh, sorry.
Right, 6 seconds for you, Maria, on etiquette starting now.
It's appalling etiquette to eat, drink or smoke in the street and never eat anything bigger than your head.
And you...
Eight.
Just before the whistle, you challenge. Yes, repeat
it. 2-8.
Yes, she repeated. Eat. And there's
or
one...
Or eat, whatever it was.
Yes. 1 second for you, Wendy, on etiquette starting now.
Etiquette.
Wendy was trying to speak then as the whistle went, but she still gets that extra point for being around when it did go, and she has increased her lead at the end of the round. And Linda Smith, your turn to begin. Being politically correct. Tell us something about that contentious subject in this game, starting now.
Nicholas Parsons is a charming and intelligent person. What am I doing? I'm being politically correct. If I were to be honest, I'd say Nicholas Parsons is an outrageous old lovey who never gets his round in.
Wendy, you challenged.
Well, first of all, I thought you'd gone off your head there, Linda, all that stuff you were talking about. It's absolute twaddle. But she did say Nicholas Parsons twice.
I know.
I know you wouldn't have challenged that because you like to hear your name, don't you?
And you never like to hear yours, do you, Wendy?
It depends where it's being called out.
So, yes, I mean, even in just a minute, you can't mention Nicholas Parsons more than once. So, correct challenge, Wendy, and you have, being politically correct, 51 seconds starting now.
I personally believe that politically correct has ruined a lot of really good comedy shows because you cannot get away with a lot of jokes you used to be able to before, and it's just spoiling the whole business. It's the same politically correct with children's books. I mean, they're messing about with Noddy and Big Ears. It's all wrong, you know. They should leave these things. They never did previous generations any harm. Politically correct is, unfortunately, I think, an illness of our time and would be best left to gather dust on some shelf. And if you don't stop gesturing them, not to buzz me, I'll come around there and slap you.
Well, Maria has buzzed you.
Thank you.
Right.
Only because you're in danger of sounding like Mary Whitehouse.
All right. There are 13 seconds for you.
Oh, wait.
Tell us something. All right, no, I'll give you a moment to gather your thoughts. But it's called being politically correct starting now.
I happen to believe that being politically correct is very much in evidence on this Indeed programme. Because...
On this Indeed programme.
Yes, Wendy.
Bit of twaddle and a bit of hesitation.
Well, I think deviation from grammar or language as we usually speak it.
English isn't my first language.
Isn't it?
What Dolphin is my first language.
Give Maria an extra point, we love that. But Wendy, you had a correct challenge. You have 6 seconds. Being politically correct starting now.
I personally don't like having to be politically correct. I feel one should be able to speak the mind.
Wendy Richard speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, has increased the lead. In fact, she got a very strong lead at the end of that round. Maria McCurlin comes second, and then Linda Smith, and then Steve Punt in that order. Maria McCurlin, your turn to begin. The subject, agony aunts. Tell us something about those. Do you know one who doesn't speak dolphin? 60 seconds starting now.
Agony aunts, quite frankly, are rather annoying. They always say, "Will you do that for me, love?" Or, "Please get back in touch when you've done the thing that I told you to do." My own agony aunts are Auntie Betty, frankly, who says things like, "Have you got a boyfriend yet?" Or, "Haven't you grown? Here's 50p, go and get yourself an ice cream." That sort of thing. Clearly talking rubbish now.
Steve, what's your challenge?
Who's helping me?
Deviation on a massive global scale.
You don't need to rub it in.
Where could you get an ice cream for 50p?
Well, that's why my aunts are mad, you see, living in the dark ages still.
Right, so Steve, correct challenge. Agony aunts is with you. There are 37 seconds starting now.
Agony aunts are largely becoming a thing of the past. They're being superseded by chat shows in which they have no role because people shout at each other on all sorts of strange problems and social deviances. They are also disappearing from newspapers and magazines, being replaced by columns in which the readers write in with their own solutions to the agonised things which have round
horribly. I think we were struggling a bit there with hesitation.
Yes, we call that hesitation, Wendy, and so you've got in on agony aunts, and there are 16 seconds to tell us something about them, starting now.
The columns of agony aunts in various periodicals are usually the first thing that a lot of people turn to and then sit and read through it all and go, "Oh, isn't that dreadful? How are they going to manage? Oh, I wouldn't do what that agony aunt said."
Yes, Maria. Repetition of "oh." Maria, you listen well. You have 4 seconds to tell us something more about agony aunts, starting now.
Agony aunts were very helpful to me when my problem with dolphins suddenly arose.
McCullough's delightful comment then brought that round to a close, which gave her an extra point for speaking as the whistle went. Let me give you the final situation. Steve Punt finished up in a strong fourth place, and then came Linda Smith, and then Maria McCullough. But way out ahead of them was Wendy Richard. Wendy, you are the winner today. So, we hope you've enjoyed the session in just a minute. And then it means to say thank you to our 4 delightful, fun players of this game. Maria McCullough, Steve Punt, Wendy Richard and Linda Smith. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons. Tune in to your television sets the next time we play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us, goodbye.